You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Lips like cherry wine. That girl can show enough, make my little light shine. I get a burning feeling up and down my spine.
Well, from Madison Square Garden singing with Elvis to the Grammy Awards as the bass singer on such Oak Ridge Boys hits as Elvira we're listening to right now. Man, that tune brings back so many memories. Richard Sturban joins us to share a little bit about his life with the Oak Ridge Boys. Richard, so good to have you. I'm telling you, I got to ask you this right off the top, though. You got to get to a point where you're sick of that song, though, right?
Well, you know, not really. and I'll tell you probably the reason why. Even now, and with the last two nights, you and I were talking briefly before we came on the air here. The last two nights we were up in Casino in Rama, Ontario there, not too far from where you are.
Right, right.
And we obviously performed that song both nights, and when you just start the introduction to that song.
They go wild.
People still, even after all these years, you know, people still go wild. So that it still makes it kind of exciting for us.
I mean, would you say that's your hallmark song?
Well, there's no doubt about it. That is probably the song that you know that we're noted for. That is probably the song that has kind of made us a household name. It actually to this day is still the largest selling single record to ever be recorded in Nashville. So, you know, that's something we're kind of proud of.
Well, I guess so. I guess so. Richard Sturban from the Oak Ridge Boys on the phone with us here on the Drew Marshall Show. I understand you grew up going to church a little bit?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. In fact, the first singing that I ever did was, believe it or not, as a boy soprano. I was, I believe, 6 years old, and it was in Sunday school. And, that particular... I hesitate to use the word performance, you know, for church, but that particular, you know, singing up on the platform there in front of the congregation kind of made an impression on me, and I felt like, you know, it's kind of what, you know, I was probably, you know, supposed to do with my life, you know, to sing in front of people.
Well, of course, then you grow up as a boy, and you go from soprano to tenor, and all of a sudden you're hitting the bass notes.
Well, that's true. You know, it's kind of an interesting story. I was in junior high school, I was in seventh grade, and I was still singing first tenor, believe it or not, in what we called the Glee Club back in those days. And over the summer, my voice dropped over an octave. And it was like unbelievable, and and it seemed like it happened almost overnight. You know, I didn't go through this period of playing. Some boys have this squeaky sound. You know, in one minute they're talking high, then next minute they're low. Seemed like to me it happened overnight. And I remember in eighth grade, I went back to, and the choir teacher put me into the second bass section, you know, and I've been there ever since.
You're very fortunate not to go through that squeaky stage. My son is 6'5", over 200 pounds, and 18, but during, you know, I guess when he was 17, 16, he was still very, very tall. He's a huge kid, and he'd try to be tough, but it would never work because he'd have the voice, and it just never came off that well, you know? Now, the Oak Ridge Boys have been around since the 40s in some form or another.
Well, that's true. You know, we go back to the Second World War. In fact, you know, we had an interesting experience here just recently. The city of Oak Ridge, Tennessee, had a special event, a special concert, and they actually named a street there after us called Oak Ridge Boys Way. And we had a big celebration, big outdoor concert here just a few months ago. But we were able to visit the atomic energy plant there, where they actually, you know, developed parts for the atomic bomb. And boy, what an experience that was to realize, you know, this is where we got our name. It was really kind of interesting.
Nice. And you guys have been a blast ever since. Oh, that was good, huh? That was
good. Yeah, that was a nice one.
Yeah, not really. You know, you've been Richard Sturban, you've been an Oak Ridge boy for about 35 years now, I think. Is that right?
That is, in fact, here in about a month, I will be celebrating my 35th anniversary. Well, that is hard to believe.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Now, just before you joined the Oak Ridge Boys, I understand you were singing with J.D. Sumner in the Stamps Quartet.
That is true. I sang with J.D. Sumner in the Stamps Quartet. And as you were introducing our little interview here, you mentioned the fact that I did sing with Elvis. And I did. You know, it was for about a year and a half. I was able to do a vocal backup for Elvis, and here just recently, I had a very interesting experience. I was invited to Memphis here about a month ago now for the 30th anniversary celebration of Elvis's death, and they had this big show there. The arena was sold out with 25,000 people, and I had somewhat of a reunion with the Stamps Quartet, and I was able to, you know, go up there and sing back up to Elvis, and we sang a couple of gospel songs on the show. We sang Sweet Sweet Spirit and what was the other one we did? Why Me, Lord? That's what it was. It was a lot of fun. I had a great experience. Kind of renew some old acquaintances there, and kind of, you know, hang out with some of the guys in the Stamps there for a while.
That's amazing. Well, can you take us back to June 4th, 1972, Madison Square Garden? You know, what memories do you have of that? I mean, that was a magical night.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, it was kind of exciting. You know, the place was packed, and it was always exciting to, you know, to be there and sing with Elvis. You know, he was one of a kind. You know, I guess charisma is probably the best word to use that no other man has ever had, I think. You know, and when he came out there on the stage, it was just like electricity. It was a great experience.
Would you say, Richard, that in 1976, was that not when you guys just kind of finally hit it big? Because I think Family Reunion came out then.
Well, that was probably the first song that maybe got a little action on country radio for us.
Right.
The one that really made it happen was in 1977.
Oh, Y'all Come Back Saloon.
Y'all Come Back Saloon. That was the first one that really, really was a chart topper for us. It didn't make it to number one. It went to number two, and it stayed at number two on the country charts for 3 weeks. And the reason it couldn't go to number one is because there was a song by the Kendalls called "Heaven's Just a Sin Away." I don't know if that's an appropriate song.
That's hilarious.
Mention on a gospel radio station. But
no, but what's ironic about that though, Richard, is that that's the year you kind of did the crossover thing. You know, you kind of went into the secular market, and all of a sudden this gospel song beats you out at number one.
Isn't that something?
That's just wild.
It really is.
Do you remember taking any heat in the same way that maybe Amy Grant did when she sort of crossed over, whatever that means?
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, when we first started to, even before we had Y'all Come Back Saloon, and I think probably the very first thing that happened to us was Johnny Cash, you know, kind of took us under his wing and made us his boys there for a while. Now, he started putting us on some of his dates, and we actually booked our first date in Las Vegas and working with him, and then in Lake Tahoe. And, you know, some of our gospel music fans got wind of that. They were not too happy with the Oak Ridge Boys working in Las Vegas. And we took a little flack from that for a while. But, you know, after a while, you know, when we started having success in country music, you know, and I think our fans saw that we were genuine about it, I think a lot of those gospel fans came back and supported us.
Yeah.
In fact, our gospel fans, believe it or not, were some of the people that called country radio stations to ask them to play Y'all Come Back Saloon. So in kind of a way, they really kind of helped us, you know, get our first country hit.
Oh, that's tremendous. Again, we're on the phone with Richard Sturban from the Oak Ridge Boys. Richard, kind of a strange question, but I got to ask you this. What do you think is the difference between gospel music and Christian music?
Oh, man. You know, that is a good question, and I think the lines are very, very fine. You know, gospel music is something that is closer to what we can identify with. You know, we grew up singing gospel music. You know, at one time we were a gospel quartet, and we still sing gospel music in our shows, even our country music shows. You know, I think the message is the same. It's just the style is a little different, and it has just a little bit of a different appeal to different kinds of people. You know, but I think both of them are great, and you know, both of them are serving a wonderful purpose, you know, of getting the message of the gospel out there, and I think it's just a matter of style more than anything.
Well, touring with the Oak Ridge Boys for about 35 years, still doing 150 plus dates per year. What toll has that taken on things like your marriage to Donna, or your parenting, or even your spiritual life?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, the Oak Ridge boys, we were all raised in Christian homes. We were all taught, you know, right from wrong. And we still carry those beliefs with us even to this day. And I think we all realize that, you know, regardless of what you're doing, to be a successful husband, to be a successful parent, you know, to be a successful family man, it's something that you have to work at. You know, even if you're working in a factory, it's something you still have to work at. So, you know, the fact that we're on the road, more, you know, and we're away from our families more than a lot of people, you know, we just have to work at it maybe a little harder, you know, but I think the foundation that all of us received, you know, going to church, you know, and what our parents taught us as young men growing up, I think that has followed us, you know, into our adult lives, and now even, you know, we're not kids anymore.
yeah, dead set. Well, you know, interestingly enough, prior to James Brown's passing, he told me that he found it very hard to maintain any sort of spiritual disciplines because of the pure aspect of the business. Being out on the road, I mean, it's not as though you can hunker down into a church or a home group or a Bible study or, you know, on some sort of regular basis.
Well, you're right, but you know, we're all family men, and we, even though we work a lot, we go in and out a lot, and we try to get home, you know, a few days every week, and quite often, we try to be home on Sundays, and quite often during the course of the year, you will find the Oak Ridge boys in church on Sunday morning, because we feel like that is something that is important to us. So we actually try to arrange our schedule in that way.
That's amazing. Do you remember a time, Richard, where you sort of stopped living off the spiritual coattails of your family, your parents, and you really started to own this Jesus stuff yourself, where it became a personalized thing?
Well, you know, I think everyone, yeah, I think you have to come to a place in life where that does happen to you. And I remember I accepted the Lord when I was 9 years old, you know, as a young boy. And, I guess my parents made me go to church every time the door opened.
Yeah.
Sometimes I didn't always want to go, but now that I look back on that, you know, I'm thankful that I was made to do that, because the lessons that I learned and the things that I learned back in those days, you know, have helped, you know, mold me and help me make the man that I am today. So, you know, I'm thankful for that, and I thank the Lord for that.
Well, that's good. That's good. You know, I think about the relationship issues within any group. I've been privileged to be sort of a guy that hangs out with a couple of different bands, and I know there's tough issues. There's dynamics, relationship dynamics within each group. And I wonder, what's been the toughest thing to get through as a group? Would it be the problems you had with the labels and the studios and the record companies, because that's just a litany of lunacy that you guys had to go through. Would it be William Lee Golden leaving? Would it be Steve Sanders' suicide? What was it?
Well, you know, we've been down through a lot of roads in our career, you know, and the split that we had with William Lee was probably the most difficult thing, you know, and we went our separate ways, and Steve Sanders, you know, filled in for him and did an admirable job, but it just didn't seem like the right thing. You know, even though he did a good job, it always seemed like there was something missing.
Right.
You know, we would run into William in town, you know, and see him, and we'd shake his hand and be cordial, but something just didn't feel right there. And so, you know, one day we just got to the place, you know, where, you know, we said, you know, this is ridiculous. We know better than this. It's time for us to, sit down, you know, man to man, face to face, and admit that we were wrong, you know, admit that, you know, and ask for forgiveness, you know, and we felt like if we could renew our friendship and we could forgive each other and as men should, then maybe we possibly could sing together again. And I recall, you know, the first time that we got around the piano after almost 9 years of being, you know, separated, and we started singing.
It just fit.
I mean, we all had tears in our eyes. You could tell that this was we felt like this was ordained from on high. This is the group that, you know, was meant to be the Oak Ridge Boys. This is the way God wanted it to be.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's a YouTube video of the Oak Ridge Boys backing up Paul Simon on Slip, Slide, and Away.
Well, you know, I have not seen it, you know, but I've heard about that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was actually a thing that we did in a church, believe it or not. Several years ago, we did a special, a gospel special out in Los Angeles at this big church, and Paul Simon hosted the special, and we were on there with him, and it was filmed for television, and that video comes from actually the performance of that song on the stage or the platform of a big church out there in Los Angeles.
Huh. I just, you know, I have a lot of admiration for the musical talents of Paul Simon. You know, well, let me do this. This is kind of one of those cheesy interview question scenarios here, but when I drop these words on you, I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind. What's the best way in one word to describe Paul Simon?
Musical genius, I guess, is the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, it's unbelievable. He's an unusual man. I recall when he recorded, you know, he asked us to come up there and sing Slip Sliding Away with him, and we went up there and spent several days, and it didn't come off quite the way that he wanted it, so he actually flew us back up there a second time to work on it again, and this time he made us sing it over and over and over and over and over again, until our voices were completely worn out.
Oh, no.
And then finally he got to the place, he said, okay, that's it, now let's go record the song. And evidently, you know, being that Southern gospel quartet that we were back in those days, we're used to screeching the high endings and the bass singer growling the low notes and all that. That's not really what he wanted.
He wanted something a little rough.
It was too heavy, too hard for him.
Yeah.
He had to wear our voices completely down. Huh. He said, "Now this is the sound we want," and that's what we recorded, and it went on to become a big hit.
Elvis, how would you describe him? One word.
Charisma.
Really?
Yeah.
He was just that magical?
I think so, and more so than any other person I think I've ever met in the entertainment field. You know, I remember the first time I met him. I was in a rehearsal hall with the Stamps and the Sweet Inspirations and all the group there, and Elvis, in his usual way, was fashionably late. He made us wait there for a while, so we were hanging out. You know, like time passed, and still no Elvis. All of a sudden, we hear this commotion coming down the hallway, and here comes a little entourage, Elvis with all his, bodyguards and whatever, and he came into the room, and all of a sudden, wow, I realized for the first time why this guy is so huge, why he's the biggest star in the world. He just filled the room when he walked in there. It was unbelievable.
Huh.
And there's only one other person I can think of that comes close to that, and our dear friend who just passed away recently, Johnny Cash. He was another man that was just loaded and loaded with charisma.
We had John Carter Cash on the show a little while ago, and of course they've come out with a tribute CD to his mom, June Carter Cash, and we talked about Walk the Line, and what a great movie that was.
Oh, man, I think they did a great job on that movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. How many times were you on Hee Haw?
I think I've lost track of that.
Yeah, lots. Lots would be the answer.
Yeah, but that was a great show.
Did you ever get to sing Where Were You Last Night?
Never had a chance to do that.
Man!
we were in the cornfield and did all those silly little skits they had. And we did that, many, many, many times. But I don't think we ever actually sang that song.
Oh, I just, that was one of my favorite tunes. I always just love the spitting part at the end, I don't know. I needed to get out more often. I understand that you were out for dinner with Barry Gibb, who owns the property where Johnny Cash lived, and he told you that he would rebuild a home on the foundations of the Johnny Cash family home, which, of course, burned down while under renovations.
Well, that's true. In fact, that's my neighborhood. I live, I live walking distance from my house to Johnny Cash's house there. So, and I remember that day, the neighborhood, it was just filled with smoke. And, I got down there, and it just broke my heart to see that place just burn to the ground. But Barry Gibb heard that, we were one of the first people there, the Oak Ridge Boys, and T.G. Shepherd and Ricky Skaggs and, Marty Stewart, some of the, people that loved Elvis were, some of the first people there. When he caught wind of that, when he got into town, he invited us all out to dinner, and we had a great time hanging out with him, and he told us that, that it's a beautiful piece of property, and he said that he's, where the house stands now, he's not going to rebuild on that site. He's going to build some sort of a tribute to Johnny and June there, and somewhere else on that 15-acre property, he's going to build another place because he wants to come down to Nashville there and spend his time there writing
okay.
songs.
Good, good. Hey, listen, have you ever worked, Richard, have you ever worked with Russ Taff?
The only times I've worked with Russ Taff is the few times that we've done the Bill Gaither videos, which we did one here just a few months ago, and I saw him there. But other than that, I don't really know him that well, but I've just been able to work with him a couple times at those videos.
I have so much respect for his voice, his talents.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He's a very talented guy.
Yeah, yeah. Is it true that you sang bass on the original NBC theme for Baywatch called Save Me?
That is true.
they ever get a picture of you running down the beach in your Speedos at all? Or?
I have to admit that you have done your homework. Yeah, in fact, Peter Cetera called me, and he wanted a bass singer to sing on this song, and I don't think he even knew at the time it was going to be the theme for Baywatch. He was just cutting it for a CD, and I believe Bonnie Raitt.
She was playing guitar. Yeah, playing guitar.
And so I went down there and had a great time hanging out with him for a while and singing on that song. And then here, not too long after that, I find out it's going to be the theme for Baywatch. But I didn't have to run down the beach in a bathing suit.
Well, that's good. On behalf of everyone else, I want to say thank you for not doing that.
Yeah. You know, I guarantee you the whole world will appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Spread the love, you know. Hey, what major league ball player would you like to meet, dead or alive? Because I know you're a ball fan, aren't you?
I am a huge baseball fan.
Yeah.
And I own, not to answer your question right away, but I own part of the AAA team in Nashville. We are the AAA affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers, who are in a pennant race for the first time in a long time. And I'm a real fan of the Brewers right now because most of the players on that team, a lot of those young players, have played in Nashville. And I've gotten a chance, being an owner, I get a chance to go down on the field and sit in the dugout and go to batting practice and that sort of thing. And I take my 11-year-old daughter out there. She loves it, too. But I know most of these guys, so I'm a big Brewers fan. But, you know, to answer your question, I would have to say Albert Pujols. I've never met him, and I think he's one of the best players in the game.
You know, of all the names, Richard, you know, Babe Ruth and all the greats over the years, that's the name you pull out of the hat?
Well, I thought you were talking about a current ball player.
No, dead or alive.
Wow. Probably Mickey Mantle.
Okay. Mickey Mantle.
Or Willie Mays. Growing up, Willie Mays.
Now, come on. You got to choose. You got to choose.
Okay. I'll say Willie Mays.
Okay. Now, speaking of choosing, if you had to choose only one out of these three, snorkeling, sailing, or cycling?
Now, you're asking me a tough one right there. Wow. I say sailing.
Yeah.
Although cycling comes right in there and snorkeling too, but if I had to make a choice right now between those three, it would have to be sailing.
Yeah. Knowing you, you're going to invent a way to do all three at the same time.
I don't think that's possible.
Well, between your daughters, I guess Lauren and Tori, which one is more like Donna?
Probably Lauren. She is now a freshman at Western Kentucky University, and she's just been in college for like 3 weeks now, and so she's really excited about that. And she's not that my wife has any talents as far as being in theater. My daughter's a theater major.
Okay.
But her personality and the way she acts is a lot like my wife. And my youngest daughter, Tori, she's more of a sports person, and she comes to the Nashville Sounds games with me, and I love to go out there and watch her play. She plays fast pitch softball too, so
that's good. Yeah. That's good. Now, of all the boys, I guess you've got Rich, Doug, Chris.
Yeah.
Which one has the flair for fashion like you?
Probably out of the three, my son, my middle son Doug, he's probably the closest to me, and probably in personality too. And he's now a chiropractor, and he just finished going to school, and he's just he's now in partnership with another doctor there, and they're he's building up his client base. So he's worked very hard, and I'm kind of proud of him for that.
Any of the gang you think maybe going to be in the Oak Ridge Boys in the future? Even maybe one of the six grandchildren?
Oh, now I don't know about that. You know, I would like to see. You know, really, I would like to see the Oak Ridge Boys name, you know, carry on even after, you know, the four of us are not around any longer. And I think that is probably possible. In fact, William Lee Golden, his son, for the last 6 or 7 years now has played drums in our group. So so we're not opposed to having, you know, our children get involved.
Well, you know, seriously, you guys are just a mainstay of this music industry. And I want to thank you for all that you've done, all that you've brought to us over the years. I mean, even from as far back as something like this. Tell me if you remember this.
In all of us, you could hear us singing for a country mile, country mile. Now little brother has done gone on, but I'll rejoin him in a song. We'll be together again up yonder in a little while.
Daddy sang bass.
Mama sang tenor. Me and little brother would join right in there.
I mean, how long ago was that?
I have even forgotten about that. Wow. Where did you dig that up from?
Well, I've got some friends in the CIA.
I see.
Yeah, we were just able to pull that one out of nowhere. Are you still able to drop that octave in Elvira?
Yeah, I still do. In fact, I did it last night. I still do it.
Man. Well, it's guys like, I think it's the bass. It's the Bill Gaithers who are able to be the ones that, and even Armand from the Imperials. I mean, they're the ones that stay forever because I think, is it not easier for the lower guys with the vocal stylings to maintain that caliber? And it's tougher for the guy, the what is it, tenors, to kind of keep it up there. Isn't that right?
Well, you know, I've heard it, you know, and I think there might be some truth to it that a bass voice gets better with age. You know, and one of my heroes, you know, of all time in gospel music, George Jantz, who sang with the, you know, Cathedral Quartet, you know, up until his dying day, he was still doing, he was still a great, great, great bass singer, you know, so I guess maybe there's some truth to that.
Richard, it has been an absolute pleasure to speak with you. Again, I just want to thank you for all the stuff, all the good years of great tunes that you brought to us.
Well, it's been my pleasure to talk with you, and I enjoyed the interview because you have done your homework, you know, and that's not always the case when you do interviews, so thank you very much.
No worries, mate. Hey, listen, have a great concert. You're in Detroit tonight,
we're
I think.
We're in Detroit, Michigan tonight, yes.
Beautiful. And thanks for coming up to Canada, up at Casino Rama. We got to get you back more often.
Yeah, we have to. I agree with that.
All right. Thanks, Richard.
Right. Bye now.
Take care.